The refusal of all ground is why it is necessary to say that each point must be patiently fought through. The refusal of all ground to evil spirits must be maintained. Refusing all ground and getting rid of all ground are two different things. Let me say it again. Refusing all ground and getting rid of all ground are two different things. All ground is not of necessity removed at the moment of refusal. The refusing must therefore be reasserted, and the believer refuse persistently. Persist until each point of ground is detected and refused. Then the will, mind, and body are gradually released to act freely under the will of man. The faculties let go into passivity should regain their normal working condition. The operation of the mind must be kept to true and pure thinking. Any subject being dealt with is mastered and does not dominate beyond control. It is the same with the memory, the will, the imagination, and the actions of the body, such as singing, praying, speaking, and reading. All must be brought back into normal working order. All must be brought back out of the passivity, heavy state into which they have fallen under the subtle workings of the enemy. The refusal of the workings of evil spirits, and this refusal of deceiving spirits in possession, is necessary. Refuse as well the ground upon which they have obtained possession. The believer may say, as his declaration of decision, by the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse the influence of evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse the power of evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to be led by evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to be guided by evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to obey evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to pray to evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to ask anything of evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to surrender to evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse all knowledge from evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to listen to evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse visions from evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse to touch, and I refuse any touch of evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse messages from evil spirits. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I refuse all help from evil spirits. The believer must revoke the consent he unknowingly gave to the workings of the deceivers. They have sought to work through him, and therefore he now declares, I myself will to do my own work. In the past, I willed not to do my work. This I now revoke forever. The fighting through period is a very painful time. There are bad moments of acute suffering and intense struggle. It is a war, painful war, resisting the powers of darkness in their contest for what the believer endeavors to reclaim. The moment he begins to advance from weakness into strength, he becomes aware of the strength of the evil spirits resisting him. He often feels worse when fighting through. And this is a sign of dispossession, although the believer may not think or feel it to be so at the time. The order of dispossession is not the order in which possession took place. The last thing given to the spirits of evil generally is the first thing removed, because fight is given upon the experience of the moment. Deliverance from the bondage of the moment is the most urgent need. Sometimes it is the advanced stage of possession with its terrible bondage which reveals his condition to the man himself. It is not until he starts point by point to fight back to his normal condition that he discovers the depth of the pit. It is a slow and difficult work of regaining the liberation of his whole being from the power of the deceiving enemy. The immediate effects of disposition. The believer fighting back to freedom must not be deceived about the immediate effects of dispossession. It may appear as he advances that he's slipping back. For instance, when the man is in a passive state under the bondage of the enemy, he may be absolutely oblivious of what he is, what he feels, and how he appears. He cannot feel and cannot be touched on these points. As he fights back to the normal condition, these things become real to him again, and he thinks he has gone back. And the fact is that he feels about these matters at all proves a degree of dispossession. For his feelings, which had become numb, are once more regaining their normal condition. The believer must not be off guard when he knows much about dispossession, because there are new realms of deception. He must pay attention not to confuse ordinary wrestling in the spirit with the powers of darkness. Ordinary wrestling in the spirit is different than their workings through possession. The tactics of the enemy during the fighting through period are something we need to know about. When the spirits of evil see their hold coming to an end, they never let go until the cause is fully removed. They continue to attack if the ground exists in any degree. When fighting through, the enemy has various tactics to hinder the man's deliverance. They will dangle a thing before the mind which is not the true cause of the possession. This gets the believer occupied with it, and while pouring in accusations upon his victim, charges, accusations, blame, guilt, direct from the enemy or indirectly through others, keep on coming. Accusing spirits can say you are wrong when you are not wrong, and vice versa. And it is very essential that the believer does not accept blame until he is absolutely sure that it is deserved. And that blame must not be from Satan's lying spirits. Lying spirits are not appointed by God to do the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Expect lying spirits to make the false charge, you are wrong, though they're going to be doing this through the whole fighting through process. Expect the lying spirits to keep the man in a ceaseless condemnation. The poor persecuted believer then goes to God and tries to get victory over sin, but in vain. The more he prays, the more he appears to sink into a hopeless bog. He seems to himself to be one mass of sin without hope of freedom, but it is victory over the power of darkness that he needs. He will quickly prove this when he recognizes the true cause of his trouble and lays hold of the Calvary victory over Satan. And the big weapon is still the Scriptures. In fighting back to freedom, the believer must wield the Scripture as the divinely provided weapon for victory over evil spirits. The verses used with immediate effect and giving evidence of relief indicate the specific nature of any attack. The believer should reason back from the effectiveness of the weapon to the cause of the warfare. For instance, if the text wielded is that Satan is the father of lies, and the believer declares that he refuses all his lies, if this brings liberty from the oppression of the enemy, it indicates that the enemy is attacking with some of his deceptive workings. Then the believer should not only refuse all his lies, but pray, "Lord, destroy all the devil's lies to me." All this simply means that in the path to freedom, the deceived believer must act intelligently. He must know the truth, and by the truth being received and acted upon, he's set free. In going down into the deception, the intelligence is unused. But in recovering freedom, he must act with deliberate knowledge. He goes down passively, but he must emerge to liberty very actively, and that is by the action of his whole being. It's no more Mr. Nice Guy in dealing with demons. Force must be used against force. There are two aspects of the use of force in the fight against the powers of darkness. There is one thing of using spirit force against spirit force when the believer is free from possession. The second is the use of physical force brought into action against their power or grip on the body. Either of these, the deceiver may suggest as self-effort. always guard against that tendency to take up a passive attitude. Whatever it takes, submit to God. Resist. Again, I say resist the devil. Be submitted to God, and we must resist him. And he will flee from us. When we're submitted to God and we resist him, he will flee. When the believer is fighting free from possession, he must bring into action all the forces of his tripartite being. Know the place of the spirit, the soul, and the body in the conflict. If evil spirits have taken hold on the muscles of the body, there must be effort and use of the muscles to dislodge them. If it's the lack of will, you don't seem to have the willpower, then resist and determine you will resist. The believer, therefore, must not be afraid to use force, pure force, which simply means active use of spirit, soul, and body. Evil spirits, by possession, cause the spirit, soul, and body of the man to be inactive and passive. Now, these must be aroused to take action against the force holding them. There must be liberation of the physical being from the passivity, as well as mind and spirit. And there's a danger of a wrong kind of fight. This resistance by action of spirit, soul, or body must not take the place of refusal by the will. Let me say it again. The resistance by action of spirit, soul, and body must not take the place of refusal by the will. A man may fight without any result if he does not first refuse. There is an evil fight, a resistance in body or brain, which is due to possession. If it exists, it must be refused. To be clear that this evil force is not in operation, the believer can say, I refuse all evil. Fight now in spirit, soul, and body. The believer may be resisting something in himself which is in the fruit of his choice in the past. It's only his refusal or revoking of his past choice that can touch the present. Fighting by force or resistance must therefore always have at the back of it the act of the will in the attitude of refusal. For example, in the refusing stage of regaining the use of the memory, the man says, I will to remember, and so to speak. By the action of his will, he lays hold of freedom. And then follows the actual fighting stage, where he holds the liberty he has taken by refusal and actively insists upon the enemy giving way until the memory becomes really free from his possession. Here are some suggestions for the attitude and action for the guidance of any who are seeking freedom from the enemy's power. First, keep claiming the power of the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The blood of Yeshua is always your first resort. Pray for light and face the past. You've got to be willing to face the past. Resist the devil persistently in your spirit. Never give up hope that you will be set free. Avoid all self-introspection. This is important. Avoid all self-introspection. Live and pray for others. See, this is a big key to deliverance. Look outward. Live and pray for others, and thus keep your spirit in full, aggressive, and resisting power. Let it be said again. I stand daily on Romans 6:11. Somebody post that. It's such an important verse. Romans 6:11. That is the attitude that you reckon yourself to be dead to sin. And then resist the enemy, like James 4:7, daily on the ground of the blood of Messiah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. And then live daily for others. You must look outside of yourself. We must live outward and not inward. Let's look at that footing on Romans 6:11. Such a weapon to victory. The standing on Romans 6:11 means the attitude of the believer reckon himself dead unto sin in Christ Jesus. It's a declaration of death, gulf of death to evil spirits as well as sin. The scripture principle means death to evil spirits working in, through, for, or instead of, or in conjunction with the man. To resist the enemy on the ground of the blood of Christ means wielding the weapon of the finished work of Christ by faith. His death for sin frees the trusting believer from the guilt of sin. His death to sin on the cross and the believer's death with him frees the man from the power of sin. His death victory on Calvary frees the believer from the power of Satan. Because of the blood of Yeshua, Satan no longer has any authority as the God of this world over any child of God. And because of the blood of Yeshua, Satan and all his demonic followers will soon be ashes under the feet of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Yeshua. Satan is going to hell and I'm going to heaven because of the power of the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Now let's review these things for the conditions of deliverance. Number one, you need the knowledge of the possibility of deception and possession. Don't think that you are somehow exempt from the possibility of deception and possession. And second, it's so important, admission of actual deception and possession. You've got to be able to receive the truth. Third, you have to have an attitude of neutrality toward all past experiences that are spiritual until the truth concerning them can be ascertained and known of a certainty. Fourth, you refuse all ground to evil spirits. And five, in some cases, the casting out of evil spirits by the authority of the name of Yeshua and the power of the blood of Yeshua. And then we take a position of death to sin, according to Romans 6:11. And then the detection and refusal of all that belongs to possession. And then comes the understanding of the criterion of the true normal condition so as to gauge signs of dispossession. And then we have to have the active use of the faculties so they reach that normal condition. Here are the steps of deliverance. Let it be said again. Number one, when in doubt, shout the blood of Yeshua. Two, recognize persistently the true cause of bondage, that is the work of an evil spirit or spirits. Third, choose to have absolutely nothing to do with the powers of darkness and frequently declare this. Fourth, do not talk or trouble about their manifestations. Recognize, refuse, and then ignore them. And fifth, refuse and reject all their lies and excuses as they are recognized. And then sixth, notice the thoughts and the way in which they come and when, and immediately declare the attitude of Romans 6:11 against all the interferences of the enemy. Now, here are some of the hindrances to deliverance. Not knowing that it's possible to be deceived. That is a big one. I can't tell you how many people fall into this trap. Not knowing that it's possible to be deceived. Another one is thinking God will not allow a believer to be deceived. There's a lot of people falling in there because most all the churches teach it, and it's not biblical, and it's not true. Thinking God will not allow a believer to be deceived is simply not a correct way of thinking according to the Word of God. Another thing is believing that I am safe under the blood without any intelligent knowledge of conditions. For to say that I have no sin would be to open the door to an evil spirit. And fifth, saying that I'm doing all that God wants, so all must be right without seeking to understand what the will of the Lord is, according to Ephesians 5:10-17. Now here's some things that might help in overcoming passivity of the mind. As far as you can, be doing what you can. Second, take the initiative instead of passively depending on others. Third, decide for yourself in everything that you can. Don't lean on others. And fourth, live in the moment. Watch and pray step by step. And fifth, use your mind and think. Think about who you are in Messiah. Think about what you say. Think over all that you do. Now, the slow weakening of possession comes as the believer maintains this resistance. The possession by the enemy will slowly weaken as the ground which he held is steadily refused and given up. The deceiver fought long to obtain the ground, and the believer may have to fight long before he is fully set free. The weakening of the possession, too, is according to the degree in which the ground is removed. Be careful not to give more ground to the foe. This makes the deliverance gradual, it is true, and yet in most cases, the snare has been gradually woven about him for many years, layer upon layer, and the devil's deceptions may have slowly come upon the mind. Following the steady attitude of the refusal of the ground, light begins to break in. And then comes the discovery of the excuses the enemy is making to hide the true location. Demons are persistent to make the man believe that the manifestations are due to some other cause. The chief excuses over the manifestation of possession center around the suggestions that it's divine or it's natural or physical or else temperament or circumstances or it's the other guy's wrongdoing. And this is to cover or hide the ground which is held. But as the excuses are recognized, the believer resists them and calls the excuses by the right name of Satan's lies. After getting rid of the counterfeits of the divine workings, beware. The difficult stage is recognizing and getting free from the counterfeits of the man himself. As the excuses or lies are recognized, the believer becomes more sharp in detection. He becomes less ready to accept the natural and physical causes as true explanations. He demands examination and certainty. If he cannot bear to hear or speak about a person, he asks why. If an attack on a certain point does not cease, he asks why. The truth is, a believer cannot bear things because of attack through possession, and he cannot do things because of possession. Naming the attack is a factor in the victory. Naming the attack is a great factor for the victory. For example, an attack may be made to hinder. Then the believer must be on guard against all hindrances, seen and unseen. It is the hinderer. It may be to make him impatient, and then he must be on guard over all things liable to test his patience. The sooner the attack is recognized and named, the quicker the weapon can be called into use to destroy it. It may be a flood of accusations of wrongdoing which need to be recognized or tested regarding their truth. Let's say the accuser charges the believer is wrong over a certain thing. We surrender that thing to God. If the accusation does not then pass away, it shows that it's not the true ground for the accusation. There is the proof the accusation is some other cause. Rebuke that lying spirit in the name of Yeshua. Attack that lying spirit by the power of the blood of Yeshua. The believer should then seek light from God upon the hidden causes, according to John 3:21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Refuse the cause of the accusation without knowing what it is, saying, I refuse the cause of this attack. Whatever it is, I trust the Lord to destroy it. But often when the believer is charged with being wrong over a certain thing, and it's fought off again, then again, in this way, it does not pass away. Then the true cause of the attack is possession and not a thing at all. The matter to be fought is possession as a whole. The true location of the deceiving spirit will often be found in an opposite direction to the apparent one. They know they are being exposed and dislodged, and so they vigorously ply an attack upon some other place to divert attention. The symptoms slowly passing away. The effects of these preceding steps can now be seen. The symptoms slowly pass away. The believer, coming back to his normal conditions, finds his faculties usable. His thoughts once more under control of his own free will. It is a spiritual resurrection from a satanic burial. Stay on guard not to think it is final victory. Don't be quick to think that the deceiving spirit has been fully dislodged because the manifestations have stopped. Be careful not to think that the intruder has been cast out. Stay on guard in cases where casting out is possible and successful. God can make quick, complete deliverance, brethren. He can. He can make very quick and complete deliverance, and I think we should expect this complete, quick deliverance, especially in these last days, because he's doing a quick work. He's going to cut it short in righteousness. But I've got to give you the bad news of the worst case scenario so that you don't think that things are not working when you just have to work at it a little longer and a little harder. Okay? So you still be careful not to think that the intruder has been cast out. Stay on guard. See, that's always the best position, that position of being on guard. Stay on guard in all cases where casting out is possible and successful. God can, and he is, and he does make quick and complete deliverance. But there are times when people are required to fight through. Stay on guard, even if there's no actual manifestations. In quick deliverance, it's necessary to watch and pray as never before. The evil spirit has been exposed. The soul has been undeceived. The deeper the deception, the longer is the time for the deceptions of Satan upon the mind to be removed. It takes longer to remove the passivity of various faculties of spirit, soul, or body. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be more persistent than the devil. You hear that? With the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be more persistent than the devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Satan's work will be destroyed. He was totally defeated by the blood of Yeshua, and that victory was made absolutely certain 2,000 years ago. To be undeceived does not always mean to be fully delivered. The believer must therefore beware of stopping the fight against possession when ease comes. It is here that the believer needs to know himself. We alone are able to judge of the extent of our liberation. This we do by having a clear understanding of our true normal condition. We should detect whether we are above our normal capacity and strained beyond our normal poise and measure. We should know when we are below it and less capable. God has gifted and enabled us to do what he calls us to do. The only important job in the kingdom is doing what the king wants us to do. The importance of knowing that true normal is just something that you have to know what your true normal condition is. For full deliverance from the power of evil spirits, a believer needs to know the standard of his normal condition. And then he can accurately judge his degree of deliverance physically, intellectually, and spiritually. And this is how we continue to battle in the war with the saints. We keep on keeping on. We put up with people and circumstances. We keep fighting the good fight of faith with strong and steady will and faith. We keep fighting until every faculty is free. We keep fighting to keep every part of our being free for the King Yeshua's use. We stand and fight in liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Hallelujah. As he judges himself, he may say things are not the same as they were, and that he fights through by prayer to his normal condition. The deceiving spirit will suggest all kinds of excuses to stop the man's advance to freedom. If he is over 40 years of age, they will suggest that the mind cannot be as vigorous as at 20. They will suggest overwork is the cause of his being below what he should be. Lies! Don't yield to him. He must not accept reasons which appear to be normal if he has been the subject of possession. He should resist all attempts of the powers of darkness to keep him below his normal capacity at any time. If he is vigilant, he'll know that the lying spirits will endeavor to deceive him about it, but he must resist their lies. Now, about regaining the normal, some practical ways of keeping the mind in its normal working condition are the right attitude toward the past. There should be no regrets or brooding over things done or undone. Like Paul says, forgetting the past, I press on. This one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting those things that are past. You can't change it. Okay, so there should be no regrets or brooding over things done or undone. This is an ordinary operation of the mind in thinking over the past. Don't get entangled into an evil kind of thinking, which is generally described as brooding. The believer must learn to discern for himself when he is simply thinking or being drawn into a state of regretting or brooding. You cannot change the past, brethren. And remember what Paul said. Forgetting the past, I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he, before he said that, he said, this one thing I do, this one thing I do, forgetting the past, I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For victory in the life, there must be victory in regard to the past with all its failures. The good of the past causes no trouble to the mind, but only the real or supposed evil. And this should be dealt with by confessing to God. God has a sea of forgetfulness. He does not need to throw your sins and mistakes in there more than once. If he tells you to ask forgiveness or make restitution, do it. Otherwise, be done with it and move on. Take things to God on the ground of 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. In regaining that normal working of the mind, it needs first to be brought into action, and then keep it in balanced action. It's very difficult and at times impossible while there's evil spirit possession. Possession must therefore pass away before balanced working is restored. And this principle applies to every faculty. The attitude toward the future. The same should be said in the action of the mind in regard to the future. It is lawful to think of the future so long as the evil state of brooding brought about by sin or Satan is not yielded to. And then the attitude to evil spirits. They must not be permitted to interfere. The believer exercises his will and the authority he is given in Messiah. We are to see to it that no new ground is given, either for possession or interference. And the attitude to the present moment. There should be a steady concentration of mind upon the duties of the moment. Keep your mind in active readiness for use as the occasion requires. And this does not mean ceaseless activity. The mind that is never at rest can be a symptom of possession. However, your mind will generally rest in sleep when you properly exercise your will, mind, and body. Cover over your sleep with prayer. The believer should go to sleep in prayer. God will give and guard your rest in sleep. Otherwise, keep praying for others until you fall asleep. Yeah, pray for others. That's a key. Keep the focus outward. Don't get introspective. And the big weapon again is the Word of God. The believer must understand regaining ground is war. Regaining good use of the will, spirit, mind, and body after passive surrender to evil spirits is war, brethren. It will mean a steady fight with the powers of darkness, and this will require the use of the weapons of warfare given in the Word of God. They are tried and proved by experience. Weapons, for instance, such as the truth in the text, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. That is great stuff for resisting this brooding over the past or torturing pictures of the future. Resist the devil and he will flee from you is good when the pressure of the enemy is severe. There is a Bible full of great fighting texts which will prove truly to be the sword of the Spirit. We resist the devil with a sharp sword of the Spirit. Go after your enemy. Put him in full retreat. That's his right place since Calvary. He was totally whooped there. And we should put him in full retreat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then the steady attitude or action of the will. Keep the mind in normal working condition, free from the interference of the enemy. Maintain an attitude of the will steadily set. I will not allow my mind to be passive. I will have full control of my body. I will recognize everything that comes from demon possession. And make those declarations the choice of the man rather than his determination to do these things. The powers of darkness are not affected by mere determination or resolve. They are rendered powerless by the act of the strong will definitely choosing in the strength given of God to stand against them. The results in experience when delivered? Well, what are the results of fighting the good fight of faith? You have a clear vision in the light of God of the enemy's workings without fear. See, the perfect love of God casts out all fear. You have a clear mind intelligently in exercise in all its actions. You have calm, firm decisions of the will. You have a strong, pure spirit in resisting. You have no hesitation in fighting all you see to be of the adversary instead of acceptance of the enemy's workings. There's an established attitude of refusal. Instead of a lie in the mind, there's truth. Instead of ignorance, there's knowledge. The delivered believer now has a deep longing for the deliverance of others. He has sharp insight into the devil's true character, into his bitter enmity to Christ and his redeemed. Past confusion in spiritual experiences are now clearly understood. He's sharp in detecting the adversary. He begins to see the naturalness of his supernatural workings. And this man is never off guard now, but always alert, watching against the powers of darkness. He relies upon the strength of God. And there is a manifest development of the resisting power against the wicked spirits attacking him. He walks with strength in Messiah. He can do all things through Christ. The steps to deliverance which have been given deal with the practical aspects of the believer's actions. On God's side, the victory has been won, and Satan and his deceiving spirits have been conquered. Understand that the actual liberation of the believer demands his active cooperation with the Holy Spirit, the steady exercise of his will, choosing freedom instead of bondage, is absolutely required by God. God requires us to make a choice. God requires us to will to do His will. Indeed, when the Son sets you free, you are truly free from the bondage of the enemy. God requires you to do your part, though. And that means you got to make the choices. You got to exercise your will. God requires you to do your part and submit your will to God's will and no other. He that doeth the truth cometh to the light. John 3:21. Evil spirits hate being tested. Yeah, brother, they do. Evil spirits hate being tested. So they work undercover with deception and lies. The believer must come to the light of God. We need His light upon all spiritual experiences as well as all other areas of life. We must be a lover of the truth if we are to cast off the works of darkness. Look at Romans 3:21. or 13, I think, Romans 13, 12, and put on the armor of God, the armor of light. Now, the Bible says much about this deliverance. It's all there. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin if we walk in the light. There's the if again. If we walk in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin if we walk in the light. The light must shine in for the soul to walk in it. We must receive the truth. The evil spirits can be cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus, but the ground they have gained can only be removed by the intelligent choice of the will refusing the ground given to them and appropriating the deliverance by death with Christ on Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior, what a King. Praise God. Hallelujah.